This morning, I invite you to turn to your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, please, as we find the fourth chapter, and we're just going to be reading one verse from that chapter, the 23rd, as our scripture text today. May the people of God be enriched in this reading and hearing from God's Word, as recorded in John 4, the 23rd verse. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. This is the word of God for the people of God. In planning with Nathan, our message series for the month of January, I mentioned to him how so many of the news programs seem to have the theme, New Year, New You, implying that everyone needed to kind of reevaluate how they were living and to see perhaps some adjustments they need to make in living a healthier lifestyle. But as we were discussing this theme that the news programs have, we realize that very little of it really covers the spiritual aspects of one's lifestyle. And so we thought about coming up with a series of then, for us, New Year, New Life, focusing more upon the spiritual aspects of our lives and certainly in our worship that can nurture us, that indeed do nurture us. So today we're going to look at how to renew our spirit as we worship. And then next week, we're going to look at the sacraments and how they also enrich our lives, the meaning behind them, how they affect us and impact us. And then the next week, we'll look and explore the Lord's Prayer, certainly something that we're very familiar with, but just to kind of walk through it and think about its meaning for us. And then the final message of the series will be that upon the creeds, such as the one we just recited a moment ago, the Apostles' Creed, but we have many creeds that we share and we use in our worship services. So in the month of January, we're just going to explore the different aspects of worship and how they affect us and how we can grow in a sense of gratitude as we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. So worship. Why is it so important? Other than God desiring us to worship him as he commands us to do in the Ten Commandments. As with anyone and in any relationship, if we desire to grow in that relationship, if we desire to grow closer to someone, then we simply need to be with them. We need to be present with them, spend some time with them. And you say, well, I could spend time with God without coming into a sanctuary on a Sunday morning and worship for an hour. Well, you're exactly right. You can worship God anywhere, anytime, any place. But the body of Christ, which God's word says we are a part of and that we should enable ourselves to grow in, can only be done in what we call corporate worship. And corporate, you have to get the business aspect out of that. Corporate meaning together, meaning as the body. So corporate worship is that time when we're together with other believers, when we're sharing together, when we're praising. It's a time when actually we're praying with someone rather than just to someone, because there's so much more power in that. It's the fellowship. It's the praising and singing to this most magnificent God of ours. You know, it's hearing the word of God being proclaimed and read and absorbed in a fresh way, and understanding that this same word speaks to us as if it was just written yesterday, rather than how it is impacted and spoken to lives when it was written thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and yet has the same meaning, the same substance for us today. So all of this together brings about a connection we have between one another and our God, and it never fades. It never loses its importance and impact upon our human day-to-day living experience. Worship cannot be imitated, should not be neglected. If it is, we lose value in our life. There is no other experience in life as is the worship of our living God. Amen?
Amen.
And we're at our best when we're in worship, because we are vulnerable. We are laying our lives open to God. And worship, like any other experience that is precious to us, is best when done together. Any event in life worth sharing, you see, is meant to be shared. It's meant to be done together. I know this attitude that we have had sometimes about church, the thoughts we have had at times. The attitude can sometimes range anywhere from, well, like the little tyke that was leaving with the family out the doors following worship service and tugged on the preacher's sleeve and said, "You know, that's pretty good for a dollar." So the attitude can go from that point to the little girl whispering in her mother's ear sitting out in the pew while the preacher was preaching, "If we give him more, will he quit talking and let us go?" Yeah, we laugh because it's kind of true. Our attitude about worship can range anywhere between those two things. So on any given Sunday morning, you wake up and you make the decision to get up out of that warm bed and to get ready and come to church. So how do we then approach this new year with a new and fresh perspective about worship? I've got just a few thoughts. The first thought is prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Just like any time you know that you're going to have a major conversation with someone that needs to happen, you kind of prepare yourself, don't you? Well, the same thing happens when you're coming to worship the Lord. Are you not going to have a conversation in prayer? Are you not going to have a conversation when you sing and you praise Him? Are you not having a conversation as together we come into His holy presence and we seek Him and we listen for Him? We open ourselves to the Spirit. So the first thing we need to do is we need to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts. I love what Psalm 51, 10 through 12 states. You know this. You've heard this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." You know, David wrote this psalm following the intense rebuke from the prophet Nathan, who was coming to tell him that what he had done was a grave sorrow to God, as he had taken the husband of Bathsheba, his name was Uriah, and had thrown him into the front lines of battle where he would surely be killed, and he was, to basically take care of the problem that he had created through the affair. And David could not worship his God nor remain fully in his divine plan if he had not dealt with his sin. He needed to come clean with God. And God knew it. And David knew it. When we come to worship, we may not be loaded down with a boatload of guilt and shame, but each one of us, right here in this room, we've got some very evident sins to each of us that we need to confess. We each need to have our little talk with Jesus.
Let us talk with Jesus. Let us talk with Jesus.
Got to throw a little gospel in there. Okay.
We each need to share our heavy burdens.
Did y'all ever see the movie Preacher's Wife? And the preacher was struggling with the sermon, and the preacher's wife helped him by getting the choir to interact. Well, I don't feel like I'm having trouble with the sermon, but I just thought it was kind of a cool idea.
So we need to simply prepare our hearts to experience an encounter with God through worship. That's one thing I do. Every time we come to worship, just prepare your heart. Because secondly, we need to come expecting a blessing. If you've experienced a blessing in worship this morning already, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you haven't and you're hoping to, say, Lord, come, Jesus, please come. Now.
Lord, come,
please. Oh, Audrey. Okay, I'm praying for you, hon, that the Lord did. No, as with all matters of faith, you have to believe it in order to experience it. You have to come in through the doors and believe you're going to be blessed as you expect that blessing. Or you may never experience it. We're speaking of an experience with God. To what or whom can we compare God? Who is like the Lord? I think in some ways, what you are to a paper airplane, God is to you. Think about it. Make one and challenge it to race you around the block. Who's faster? The thing exists only because you formed it and flies only because someone throws it in the air. God asks Isaiah, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? As if the answer was just available. As if the question wasn't sure about the answer, then God helps them out. I am God. I alone. I am God, and there is no one else like me. And King David marveled, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You and I may have the power to choose worship, but God is the power. No one and nothing compares with him. And if you come to worship expecting a blessing, God will not fail you nor disappoint you. He will supply the power. However, you must supply the belief. And the final thought I had on this about how I can renew my worship this year is respond to the gift. You know, it came pretty clear to me during the holiday season that Asbury is second only to God in its generosity. I was taught by my mother to write thank you notes when someone did something especially nice for you or gave you something. And I've really tried to hold that discipline, and I pass that on to my girls. And if for some reason somebody is giving me something and hasn't received a thank you note, it's because I forgot, not because I'm lazy. So now as I've gotten older, I've gotten to where I write a list of the things, and then I check them off as I write each thank you note. Find that it's extremely important to do that, to respond to the gift. Worship, to me, is a gift from God. It's not something particularly we do as much as we participate in and we become a part of and we join together with God in. You see,
worship is believing you are entering into the presence of God. And who does that without feeling grateful?
Unless they don't recognize it,
or unless they've taken it for granted. For instance, when you lead worship, you can get kind of caught up in what's coming next, right? The clergy, the choir director, the choir, the organist, the ushers, the acolytes, all are remembering what comes next or very focused on what comes next. So the whole worship experience is as nice a flow of the Spirit as possible. And before worship begins, the greeters, the ushers, the wonderful altar guild we have all done things to prepare for us to enter a wonderful worship experience. But all of these responsibilities can take us away from actually worshiping. So when David is praying his prayer, when the choir is singing their anthem, I'm not preaching, I'm not leading, I'm not praying, so I get to worship, and it's a gift. Worship is a gift, and it deserves a response. Each of us must find that opportunity to respond to God's gift of His holy presence, His awesome involvement, and His moving Spirit in and among His people in the act of worship. Our doxologies, our Gloria Patri, our prayer responses are all intended to be moments we acknowledge with praise and thanksgiving the essence of God within our worship space, within our hearts, within our beings. But here, the text one more time, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of God will worship in spirit and in truth, for such the Father is seeking. Isn't that amazing? What that tells me is something I already knew, but something that we forget from time to time. God is watching us. God is paused. God is watching us and observing us, hoping and praying we will love Him enough to worship Him. That may take an attitude of an adjustment for some who may be feeling pretty low, who may be ripped up or torn apart. But isn't that really when we need God the most? I mean, God didn't bring on those troubles. But God is the God that the Word reminds us heals and binds up our wounds. The psalmist also said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I think what I'm trying to say this morning is I pray that that's our attitude as we approach this new year, new life, that we will be glad when we enter into the house of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.